Thank you, praise team. Appreciate it greatly. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 5. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 5, verses 25 through verse 29. The title of the message is, The Hour is Coming. But I just had something happen up here that I just want to take a moment and maybe direct your attention. Was anybody watching me during prayer time? So during prayer time, I'm praying, and I just felt something come on my head. Now, you just think, okay, what's the big deal? You know, just like you feel something. Let me step aside for just a moment and say, I'm so thankful for all the nerves that we have in our bodies. Isn't it incredible how many nerves we have? Well, I didn't know what that was on top of my head. Thank you for many of you bowing your heads and closing your eyes. Thanks for some of you looking. That's totally fine. Well, I had a little wasp that came, and he landed on my head. I ignored the wasp for a couple of moments. And by the way, we've had some wasps in the building. I don't know how they get in, but somehow they get in. And so I proceeded to say, well, there must be something on my head, and try not to draw attention to it. So I did this, and sure enough, it fell on the pulpit. So where's Jim? Jim, where are you at? Jim, I've lost you. Jim, thanks for making the pulpit. Jim Studioso made the pulpit. Thank you for that. And so I'm praying. I'm continuing to pray. And so I killed the wasp with my Bible, just so you know. So here's the illustration, which is why I'm telling you. You probably won't remember the illustration, but you'll remember the wasp. But maybe if you remember the wasp, you remember the illustration, and here it is. Sometimes we're involved in prayer, and something comes and bugs us. Sometimes it's a past failure. Sometimes it's a sin. Sometimes it's just a distraction. And if I may encourage you, stomp it out with the Word of God. The hour is coming. We fix, in my opinion, we fix our lives on hours. That's what we fix our minds on. Sometimes it's on halves of hours, but hours, if I may say, run our days. We wake at a certain hour. Many of you woke at a certain hour. You set your alarm clock for a certain hour. Many of you, it was probably 6 or 7. Most of you, it was not 4. Some who were becoming a church a little bit later, maybe it'll be 8 or 9. We are supposed to be at work at a certain hour, and you're supposed to be there at that hour. If you're not there at that hour, then you get in trouble. We have a doctor's appointment at a certain hour, and then they say, why not show up like 15 minutes early so you can fill out paperwork, and then you can sit after the hour you're supposed to be getting in to see the doctor. That sometimes happens. We arrive late at a certain hour. We get done with our work, or we get done with school at a certain hour. Minutes might be included, but it is the hour that is highlighted. We get to a sporting event at a certain hour. There's a concert that starts at a certain hour. Church even starts at a certain hour. We go to bed at a particular hour. Some of us stay up past the hour we're supposed to actually go to bed. But we have in our mind a fixed hour. What time do you go to bed? Oh, I usually go to bed 9 o'clock. Oh, I usually go to bed at midnight. Oh, I usually go to bed at 11 o'clock. Whatever your hour is, you usually go to bed in that hour. A week ago or so, I was with a gathering of a few men. And it was an early morning gathering. And one of these men had set his alarm to go off at a certain hour. But it really didn't go off because it wasn't really set according to the phone that he had. So 30 minutes after our gathering started, he awakened to realize that he had missed the hour of the start. Maybe you've done this. sometimes our church services are a little hard to figure out. We have an 8:30 and we have a 10, and so maybe you think it's 8 and 10:30, or maybe it's 8 and 10, and so maybe you've come early to church because of the certain hour that you thought it was. There is a specific hour that is coming. And Jesus tells us about this hour in this gospel, and other passages confirm and prepare us for this. This passage is serving as a possibility, as a hope, as a warning for us to be ready for that hour. You have arrived here at this hour. Now I ask, what does God have for you in this hour? Would you join me in John chapter 5? I'm going to read through verses 25 to 29. If you happen to want to read a Bible that is under a chair in front of you, it would be on page 890. Here's what it says. By the way, if you don't have red letter in your Bible, this is Jesus talking. It's not red letter up there, so. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of life. Of judgment. There are four things that I want you to grab from the scripture today. The first one is this: the dead hear the voice of the Son of God. The dead hear the voice of the Son of God. There is a key phrase that you need to catch in this passage, and that's in verse 25, and this is what it says. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and here's the phrase, and is now here. When you look at this first, you think, well, how is the hour coming and now here? That doesn't make much sense, because if the hour is coming and now here, well, then Jesus has come again. And so think of the individuals as they were hearing this for the first time. What is this talking to us about? I believe that it's not talking about a physical death. It's talking about a spiritual death. Those who are caught in their transgressions and sins. Think on this. When you heard the words of life, the separation from your sin, and Jesus says, you are forgiven, that gives you life and life eternal. You go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Praise be to God for that. Think on these people who were hearing this for the very first time. He's saying, the hour is coming. And then he says, and now is come. I'm not sure if they really caught that. But what he's saying is that you can be free. You can know that the hour is here and be set free from your spiritual sins. Can we hear that voice today? Think of Lazarus. Think of Tabitha. They rose when they heard the Lord. Think on the people who heard this for the very first time. They were receiving life. These people were dead. They were, as a reminder to you, where were we at? They were worried about this guy being healed on the Sabbath. Oh, I can't heal him on a Sabbath. Can't do that. And he's saying, you're missing it. You're missing it. It's not about a healing. It's about you can go from death to life. Hear this quote. The world is a vast moral graveyard where men lie dead in sin, sense bound hand and foot, with spirits buried in bodies which should be holy temples, but have become as unclean tombs. Pastor Bradley lives next to a cemetery, and so he was very kind to take some pictures of a cemetery. Have you been to a cemetery lately? Cemetery is a place where people are laid to rest. And if you go to a cemetery, it's pretty quiet, but it's dead. The next picture there, Ethan. We get a little closer, and death seems a little closer to us, and then the next picture. A man who served in World War II. You can leave that up for a moment or two, Ethan. We walk every day through a graveyard, not through a cemetery per se, but we walk through a place where people are spiritually dead. I want you to think about this in the place where you work, in the place where you go to school, in that place where you go. Can you imagine and can you see people like this, spiritually dead? You have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to say, but you can have life and have it to the full, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like this picture. You're dead in your spiritual life right now. Rise and hear the word of the Lord. Here's what it says. An hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Have life in Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that you were dead in your sins. And if this is, then know that you are dead in your sins. But when you receive Christ, you are not dead in your sins, but you are alive to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. If that's you, hear the voice of the Son of God and be awakened today to spiritual life. Or maybe you would consider yourself a Christian and you're not spiritually dead, but maybe you're dead spiritually to something this morning. The hour is here. Trust in the Lord. Now, we need to be dead to sin, but maybe there's something that you need to be alive in. Maybe you're without hope. Rise to life in Christ. Maybe you're without joy. Find true joy in Jesus. Maybe you're going down the wrong path. Turn your path to life with God. Maybe you're dead in your patience. Trust in the Lord today for Him to give you that patience. Maybe you're dead in your love. Maybe you need to come to God and trust in God's love to pour through you. Maybe you've stopped thinking. Maybe you've stopped feeling. Maybe you've stopped caring. Maybe you've stopped trying. Maybe everything is dead to you. So hear these words. The hour is come. Awaken now spiritually to His power, for you have been dead, awakened to new life in Christ. Which leads us to the next point, number two. The Father has life, the Son has life. Both give life. Let's look at it this way. The Father has given you physical life. We have a physical body. We can walk around, we can scoot around, we can drive around, we can hop around, you can do however you want to get around. You have this physical body. Jesus has given you spiritual life. How has He done this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Have you thought in recent days of the ugliness of your sin? When you're reminded of that, it can be pretty ugly. If you think you're a holy person, just be reminded of the ugliness of your sin, of my sin. But do you hear what this passage tells us? God made Him no sin, or God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He took it upon the cross so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life, and they may have life to the full. Now, some of us can debate. We immediately debate this. Well, in the Old Testament, then, did they have a full life? I mean, did they have a full life because they didn't know Jesus? Well, we can debate that one. You can meet with Pastor Ron Burkhalter. He is a retired pastor, and he knows pretty much everything from the Bible. So you ask him and debate with him on all of that. I don't know. But I know this. You can have life and have life to the full. I want you to think of your interactions this week. As you walk through a spiritual graveyard, you have life. I want you to think of this. Today is October 21. In 10 days, we are a country, we are a world, I don't know how far you want to go, universe, that actually celebrates death. Why? I don't know. We shouldn't. Ghosts, goblins, witches, zombies, our culture celebrates that. What is that? That's death. We have the awesome opportunity to celebrate life. Why? Because the Father has given us life, the Son has given us life, and the Holy Spirit works well within us. And so as you think of the events that happened on October 31, you walk around giving life and say, Jesus has life. The Father has life in himself, and so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself. Thus, when you walk around with Christ in your life, you bring life through the spiritual graveyard that is around us every day. I'm thinking right now of my neighborhood. I want you to think of your neighborhood. Would your neighborhood be life centers in each of the houses around you, wherever you live? And if you live out on a ranch, then go out however far you need to go, your neighbors. Every one of us has neighbors. Are they in the graveyard? And can you share with them life? Number three, the hour is coming when those in the tombs will hear. The hour is coming when those in the tombs will hear. I've sat with people. I've sat near people who were near physical death. Some of you have done that. When I say that, some of you remember the time that maybe you sat close to a loved one who was near physical death. Some were in a hospital room. Some might be in a hospice house. Some are just in a home somewhere. Many times I've wondered, what are those people experiencing? What's happening in their lives as they're experiencing this, the people who are soon to pass and the people who are there. The people who are soon to pass, what do they know? What do they sense? What do they hear? I was at the bedside of a man who had been very sick for some time, and I decided to sing a couple of songs to him, and it seemed to me that as I finished singing that there was a little tear coming out of his eye. I think he heard. They say the last sense to go is hearing. You've probably heard that. And so I encourage people as I gather around. Sometimes I think, well, Dad, he's out of it. He doesn't have any idea what's going on. But the hearing is one of the last to go, I understand. How can people hear from the tombs? How can people hear? The scripture says, we will hear. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. They're dead. Not so fast. Jesus is telling us that there's coming an hour, that he will come back, and then a great rapture will happen. Now, hear me in this. It's not a literal hour. It's not 60 minutes. It's not like, oh, from 8 to 9 is when it's going to be. It could be from 8 to 9. But there is a time frame. There is a certain distinction in time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Paul talks about this as well. Are you listening for the trumpet? Are you ready for that hour? I think we not only have physical ears, but we have spiritual ears as well. Ears that tune into God and we can hear him speak. Have you heard the Lord recently speak to you? Oh, to hear God's voice. What do you hear? If you ever have trouble hearing, if you're one of those people that have trouble hearing and you get in a situation where there's a lot of people, man, it's hard to hear. And when you can hear so clearly, wow, you tune in. I want to take a couple of moments, if I can, to talk about something that all of us will deal with, because it says those in the tombs. Now, what's it talking about, the tombs? I mean, what exactly is going on here? There's a couple of ways that as people pass that people start thinking about, what do we do? Do we do cremation? Do we do traditional burial? What does the Bible say? Maybe you've had that question. I actually encourage each of you in this room, especially if you're 60 years of age and older, what are your wishes? What are your plans for what happens to you once you pass on? Many times I work with individuals, and sometimes there are no plans to be made. And let me tell you, from time of death to the time of funeral memorial service, there's like 10,000 questions that come, not that many. But if you've ever experienced that, it's like, it's just a weight. And so people are grieving for the loss of their loved one. The Word of God says we shouldn't grieve those, we don't grieve as those who do not have hope. But there's a grief that happens when you lose someone. What do you have in place? I encourage you, if you're above 60, you need to have something written down. You need to have something taken care of. I encourage you to do that. Cremation versus traditional burial. Does the Bible say one way or the other? I mean, it's in the tombs. So is the tomb saying that we need to be buried in a tomb? I don't know if any of you are going to be buried in a tomb, by the way. We don't have too many tombs in Rapid City or wherever you might be buried. Cremation versus traditional burial. What is cremation exactly? Cremation is the burning up of a body. The crematorium has a furnace between 1600 and 2000 degrees. The body, after the spirit leaves, is reduced to bone fragments and ashes. If you've ever seen ashes, then it would be very similar to wood ashes. They're coarse sand, light gray in color. A traditional burial, though, would be the body is placed in a casket, put in a vow box, and the casket is usually lowered into the ground, not all the time. Sometimes they're put in a different place, and the casket is, and the body is left to decompose in that way. Today, there's pretty strict laws on burial. We need to do something with the body so the body doesn't contaminate the earth. So is cremation right or wrong? Is a traditional burial the way to go? I just want to let you know that if you look through the Bible, there's no biblical definition about one or the other. However, there are some references about fire and what happens. If you look in Revelation, what happens after condemnation, after death. And some choose cremation because of the cost. And I don't think cost should be a determining factor. But Genesis 3 verse 19 says this, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." We have a glorified view of our bodies at times. We primp, we proper, we shave, we beautify, even in the casket. Oh, didn't she look nice? Kind of a weird phrase, isn't it? Oh, he looks so good. They just really fixed his hair up so nice. We beautify, we glorify our bodies. But we must know that our bodies are made from the dust, and our bodies will go back to the dust. The major part we need to know is we have a spiritual component in our bodies, and our physical bodies are just the shell that hold us. Thus, the hour is coming when our spiritual bodies are going to be raised to life. This is what the scripture says. The hour is coming when you're going to hear in your spiritual ears. And whether you be in a tomb or whether you've chosen cremation, you're going to hear, and all of a sudden, God's going to come again. He's going to come in the form of Jesus. It's what the scripture says. We believe as Christians that when we breathe our last breath on earth, and it's going to happen for us all, then we will come into judgment before Jesus. Someday, each of us are going to pass on. But someday, our ears are going to hear Jesus calling. Here's what it says. "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice." How many of us? All. Does that mean a Christian or non-Christian? Yes. Everyone's going to hear the voice of Jesus. I point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. A little later. Death is followed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, we need to do good to get to the resurrection of life. We need to do good to get to the resurrection of life. This is interesting for me. I don't know if you found it interesting. Do not marvel this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Immediately when you look at this passage, you think it's all about doing good, right? That's what it says. If you do good, then you're going to go into heaven. If you do evil, then you're going to go into judgment. It's immediately what you look at and you say, oh, what's going on here? What if I don't do the good enough things? What if I've done a couple of bad things? What if I've done too many bad things? Is that what the scripture is telling us? I think he's saying this. If we do good, we arrive in heaven. But you have to couple it with Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace that you have been saved. We must show, we must live that we are saved, and being saved means we do good. If we are a spiritual graveyard, if we're in a spiritual death, then we don't do good, we do evil, we do bad. However, if Christ is within us, we do good. Here's what I believe about what the Bible tells us. I believe that once we breathe our last breath, we go before God in judgment. Jesus is on hand and he judges us. We just talked about this last week. He's given judgment to the Son, verse 22. If his blood covers our sin, which happens through receiving him, then Jesus stands as an advocate for us because we cannot. And we go to worship God, gathered around the throne. We will be recognizable. We will be noticed. But then the hour will come, if the Lord tarries, that Jesus will call out in a loud voice. In those moments, I believe our spiritual bodies will be reunited with our fleshly bodies. How this happens, I don't totally understand. I just know that's what the scripture says. I don't understand how we're going to be reunited and the dead in Christ will rise first. I don't get that, but I look forward to the day to being able to experience it and see it happen. Don't you? I don't understand, but this is what it says. Those who are on earth will rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That'll be a fun one. That'll just be fun. We'll be caught up together in the clouds. I've always wanted to just kind of fly. And then, wouldn't that be cool? Just to go. And if that happens, you're going to be caught up in the clouds. Where? I don't know. Does that mean all the way to Neptune? I don't know. Maybe just the atmosphere? I don't care. We're going to be caught up somewhere. And so we will always be with the Lord. And then this is what Paul says. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. How do we arrive in heaven? By accepting Jesus as our personal Savior and living that out and doing good in this life. And we'll have the resurrection of life. There's definitely two places for us to go when the hours come. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Those who have done good will go to the resurrection life. Those who have done evil will go to the resurrection of judgment. I ask this question of you today. I ask the question of myself. Are you ready for that hour? Because the hour is coming. Live for that hour and beyond. Don't just live for today. Though today you might have that hour come. Heaven is waiting, and to hear Jesus' voice is great. If you are dead spiritually, arise to his voice out of the graveyard today. As you walk among the spiritually dead today, this week, whatever, whenever. Point them to new life. Do good from Christ working in your life. And when he comes again, you will be ready. Please hear these words from John Peterson, who wrote this song called Jesus is Coming Again. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, oh what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening and maybe soon, coming again, oh what a wonderful day it'll be, Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast, Jesus is coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and will be soon. Coming again, oh what a wonderful day it'll be, Jesus is coming again. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? You have come to this hour of church. Are you ready for the hour that is coming? I will pray for each today. Maybe you brought something in with you this morning and you just need to turn it over to the Lord and say, I'm spiritually dead, Lord, in that area. Would you, even now, awaken me to life? Lord Jesus, we look forward to the hour that is coming. And it's even here now, is what the scripture says. You brought that. So God, I pray for somebody here this morning who has been wandering, has been lost, has been in a graveyard. I pray, God, that today that you would raise them up out of that life of death to a life of living. So God, would you do a mighty work in somebody's heart and life today? The hour is here. The hour is upon us. So Lord, please do that work. I pray for the individual who seems like they've been wandering around. They would call themselves a Christian, but they feel like maybe a zombie at times, or it's been pretty cloudy. I pray, God, that even now you would awaken them spiritually. Maybe it's joy, maybe it's peace, maybe it's hope. Whatever it might be, God, I just pray for those individuals that are here today that you would awaken them this hour to hear your voice. Thank you that we have life in you. Thank you that we have hope in you. And I ask God that when that hour comes, we would be found ready and ready to go to heaven with you. God, if you choose to call us home before the rapture happens, I pray that as we worship you around your throne, that when, however it happens, when we're reunited, may we give glory and honor and praise to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you coming to give us life. I pray that you would help each individual as they walk out of here this morning. They would know the hour has come and they may walk in life with you. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your grace that you give to us. We count it a blessing to worship you today. I pray that you go before each person this week. You know the trials, you know the temptations, you know the struggles, but we also serve you because we put our hope in you. Help us not to be downcast, but help us to put our trust fully in you, and you will lead us. Thank you for life and life to the full. We love you. We pray that you would guide us each step of the way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.